Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, time to explore God's Word together is exactly what we're about to do right here on your favorite Christian radio station. And this morning, we are chatting Nomfundisi Dlamini. We are in Fundamental Belief number 15. We are nearing the end of that doctrine, the doctrine of the church, right? And we are saying, after all is said and done, after you've gotten an understanding of what the church is and how to get acquainted with it and what its purpose is and how united we need to be, we then say to you, this is how you can enter by these two ordinances, they call them. And so we're going to be chatting about those in those 2 weeks today, starting off the series on baptism. And then next week we'll be covering the Lord's Supper. So do come through as we will be having these conversations together. And let's chat, let's engage. If you've got any questions, let's hear what those questions are. If you want to inquire to say, hey, is it a must and a mandatory thing to join these two institutions? Let's also maybe get answers from the experts, right? These men and women of God that will be engaging in the couple of weeks. And let's hear what it is all about regarding these matters of joining the Church of God. And so this morning we're going to be talking to Pastor Dlamini, looking to discuss this very important subject of baptism. You see, from the Seventh-day Adventist perspective, at least, let's start off there. They believe that, and actually they practice, the biblical custom of baptism by immersion. Now, baptism practiced in a similar way that Jesus Christ himself was baptized by John in the Baptist, right? Now, this motion of immersion symbolizes Christ's death and resurrection, which provides the forgiveness of our sins. Now, by going through this symbolic act, we proclaim to accept Christ's sacrifice and acknowledge him as our Savior. That's what this is all about. It's a public declaration that we are accepting Christ as our Savior. And we have on the line this morning Mfundisi Thabang Dlamini, helping us understand the deeper meaning behind baptism. Mfundisi, good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning. The line is a bit compromised. I can't hear you properly. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you nice and clear. Maybe let's see if we can try and try a different line, Mfundisi, or maybe try re-establish this line, because we do need you to be getting us clearly so that we can engage each other very, very well. Of course, we are going to be chatting with Pastor Dlamini regarding baptism. And like I said earlier on, we want to invite you to share your thoughts, your comments with us in this topic right here. +27 73 470 3520. That's the number that you can get in touch with us on, or you can connect with us on our direct line. That's +27 12 001 7679, as we go through together in this discussion right here. Let's see if we can just try and establish that line again. Mfundisi is saying there he's not quite getting us a while. It looks like the other line is not working. So let's see if we can re-establish that very same line, and hopefully he'll be able to hear us much, much better. Much better, Mfundisi?
Very, very better.
Ah,
I can hear you properly now.
Marvelous stuff, marvelous stuff. But you see, let's start by, we were just talking earlier on as we were connecting the line with you, to say ordinances is what especially the Protestant movement will call these two things. We talk about baptism, we talk about the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. But other denominations would call them sacraments. Is there a difference? Maybe just help us understand why they would call them ordinances rather than sacraments.
Okay. The difference is very, very, it's a fine line. It's okay. Not an obvious difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because the words used to define these events are somewhat similar.
Okay.
Yeah. Orthodox Christian churches and Catholicism refer to these rites as sacraments,
mm-hmm.
and Protestants refer to these rites as you rightfully said,
ordinances. Yeah.
Ordinances. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe because of time, we won't get into it for long. But the major difference is the reason why Christians have to perform these rites.
Okay.
From a sacramental point of view, these rites are performed to attain God's grace. It's as if it's an incentive that the Christians perform to attain God's grace. However, on the other side, the Protestants do not believe that the rites are performed as a token to attain salvation or grace. They are rather symbolic of a journey a Christian has towards salvation with Jesus Christ. So, it, simply put, the difference is that one side believes that you have to perform these things to be saved.
Saved, okay.
And the other side, believes that salvation is a free gift from God. You do not do anything to attain it. Nonetheless, the rites, baptism and the Lord's Supper are a representation of a continuous process towards attaining salvation. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely, Mfunis, and I think it's quite clear. And maybe as we then maybe go deeper into the conversation, you speak about it being symbolic. Talk to us then, maybe start off by defining what baptism is all about, and then adding that quickly to that is the what it means, what is it then symbolizing? Like you're saying, it's just a symbol and not in itself a rite of grace or a ticket of getting this grace, this salvation.
Baptism in its origin, before even we get into the spiritual aspect of baptism, when searching around, I found out that the concept of baptism is embedded in or originates from a process of changing color of fabric material.
Okay.
So to change material or color from one color to another on a fabric, anciently they would take the cloth, dip it into the desired color, and it would come out of that desired color different from what it was in before it was taken into the color end. Now, moving to the spiritual aspect of it, you need to remember that we are introduced to the concept of baptism by the man called John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And as you read about John the Baptist, you'll discover that John the Baptist was prophesied about even before he was born. He's a prophet that God had told us about even before he was born, that before the Messiah would come, there's one who will go before him and he will prepare the way for the Messiah. So in preparation for the way for the Messiah to come, John the Baptist preaches repentance. He preaches repentance. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, because the Messiah has come. And he doesn't just leave or he doesn't just preach repentance. You see, as a Jew, John had to... Jews are practical in culture. They act out their culture where necessary and where possible.
Okay.
So John acts out the call to repentance by inviting people to get baptized. Remember what I said at the beginning about the origins of baptism. The fabric would into the water, one color, and comes out of the water another color. So repentance is a change in life, is a change in also thought process. It something in the head changes. Nonetheless, that change is expressed symbolically through the concept of baptism.
Okay.
Yes. In acceptance of Jesus Christ as a personal savior, or Jesus Christ as God's son who's here to die for our sins. John would call the people that believed into the water to be baptized, and then that would be an expression, a symbolic expression to say, yes, we believe, we are human, we've got frailties, and there's nothing we can do to fix them. Only Christ can
only
fix
Christ
them.
Can do that. And I love the way you and thank you so much for such a profound. I'd never actually heard it from that perspective, that baptism is a representation of this change in fabric and therefore this change in character and understanding, and like you said, the change in the mind that happens, which is quite a deep thing, Mfundisi, which then one could understand why people might be so hung up in you must get this done. I was speaking a couple of years back, this was a long time ago, with a friend of mine the differences, especially with your more formative mainstream churches, especially the Protestant fold, how they are more caught up in the rites and the rituals of Christianity, unlike our charismatic brothers who are much more experiential in orientation. And they said, you will notice that if children are to go to camp, like the young people go to camp from these two different denominations, the charismatic parent would come back and inquire of the child, did you meet Jesus? Right. They want to understand what the experience was for the child. But the Protestant Mfundisi Dlamini, when he asks his child, is like, hey, did you get baptized? Yeah, this meeting Jesus is something else. We want to see if you did the thing. Talk to us, Mfundisi, about understanding, especially like you said, it's a symbol of what is happening deeper in the spirit. And sometimes we get caught up in the rite itself. Maybe help us understand that actually this symbolic part is where the gist of the matter is.
I like the fact that you started with John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when the one John had been preaching about had arrived,
mm-hmm.
for him to start the work of salvation, for Christ to start the work of salvation, he went to be baptized.
Yeah, yeah.
And Christ did not need to be baptized like we are baptized. We need to understand that.
Okay.
Yes. We need to be baptized for salvation. Christ needed to be baptized so that he can be the conduit or the source of our salvation. We meet at the water with Jesus Christ and nowhere else. For Christ to start the work of salvation, he went to John. John refused to baptize him to say, look, you should be baptizing me. And Christ says, look, it's the other way around. In the water, I need to go into the water so that I can assume the work of saving people.
Mm.
And therefore, the salvation for people starts in the water as well. I'm reminded of a conversation with Nicodemus.
Yeah.
When Nicodemus asked Jesus Christ, what can I do to attain eternal life? What can I do to be saved? And Christ... Christ says to him, look, my guy, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. Remember Christ being a Jew as well, or a Hebrew, with a Hebrew background. He was speaking in a practical sense. Nicodemus replies also in a practical sense to say, are you saying that I should go back into the womb and be born again? Speaking of the womb, the womb is a watery capsule that maintains a life in there. Before birth.
Okay.
So even our lives, before we are alive, we start in the water, which is the capsule of birth of water in the womb canal. So why would some Protestants believe that baptism is important, and they would ask their children if they've been baptized. Mm. Are you ready to be baptized? Mm. It's because biblically, salvation starts in the water. For Christ to start working for us, he had to start there. Mm. For us to start, you know, changing, transforming our lives, as Paul would say, we start by the water.
We start by the water. Yeah, you remind me, Mfundisi, about this generation who want to start working for Christ before they make a commitment to Him. I don't know if you've met those in your experience, Mfundisi. They don't want.
I was once one of them.
To tell them to get baptized, they don't want, but they want to be doing things for Jesus. Hey, yeah, they, but you're saying, yeah.
Yes, I was once one of them. Thank God I got baptized.
Hallelujah. Mfundisi, as we wrap it up, I wanted us to go deeper into this idea of who qualifies for baptism, but maybe let's leave that for Wednesday when we talk about our baptism today. But maybe let's wrap up today's session by just understanding the background of baptism. You mentioned how it starts with John, this idea of baptism. But yet you find Paul making mention about how the Israelites were baptized. Talk to us a bit about the origins of baptism, Mfundisi.
Paul was a deep thinker. You see, Paul makes reference of God moving the children of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land.
Okay.
And he says that movement from slavery to freedom had to be solidified by baptism. And their movement through the sea was a representation of baptism. I mean, this just reiterates the point that we are trying to make this morning.
Okay.
Our salvation starts in the water. The Exodus is a perfect example of God redeeming His people. And, you know, God could have taken the shortest route.
Yeah, yeah.
To get them to Canaan land.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be a complex situation, but they had to go through that process where it signifies a starting in the change of the mindset. And mind you, looking at the Exodus, these people had been enslaved for a long time. The mind had been shaped in slavery. So for God to transform and change the mind, He first introduces Himself as a God that is willing to cleanse them of their sins.
Yeah.
And He takes them through the sea so that they can see that things are changing, things are different. Unfortunately, because of the slavery period in Egypt, it took a lot more than just going through the sea for them to see it.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's what we go through as well. Being baptized doesn't necessarily mean at that point in time things are going to be smooth now and whatnot.
Certainly.
But we can discuss that on another day.
Certainly, certainly. Oh, Mfundisi, thank you so much for that. You know, you mentioned this idea of deep thinking and Paul and that, and I'm just tempted as you were mentioning these philosophies to say, if it was a philosophy conversation, Mfundisi, we would have tried to go deeper into this concept you're speaking to us about, how everything starts in the water, and how somebody would say, no, we are all from the water. You see, right in the beginning, the earth itself comes from the water, and all the animals come from the water. But, hey, thankfully, we are not in that discussion. Mfundisi, thank you so much for the chat today.
Today we are being kind.
Let's leave it there. Have yourself a blessed day, Mfundisi, until we chat again tomorrow.
Likewise, men of God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.